you were with us last week, you will know that I started our discussion talking about the role and the position of the Holy Spirit in relation to God the Father and Jesus the Son, all of who make up the Trinity. I spoke about the Holy Spirit's role in supporting and assisting God with his work and in empowering and equipping God's people to participate in God's work. I ended my message with two specific examples from the Old Testament about the role of the Holy Spirit. And I mentioned that every time we see the Spirit in the Old Testament, it's temporary and it's for a specific purpose, because prior to the death and resurrection of Jesus, the Holy Spirit could not dwell in us. I also hinted last week at some of the added roles of the Holy Spirit after the death and resurrection of Jesus, and that we can discover those roles in the New Testament. That is where I left you hanging last week, and it's where I'm going to leave you hanging again this week, because in order to fully move into the new roles of the Holy Spirit after the death and resurrection of Jesus, we need to first understand the universal roles of the Spirit, responsibilities he has always had and continues to have today. So to segue into that, I want to say again, the role of the Holy Spirit is to assist and support God in his work and to equip God's people. Now, the purpose behind the role of the Holy Spirit is to bring honor and glory to Jesus the Son and God the Father. Even though as Christians we acknowledge, we praise, and we worship the Holy Spirit, his goal is to pass on any glory that he receives to God the Father and Jesus the Son. He has no desire to be in the spotlight. He does not want the glory to focus on him. And there are four roles or responsibilities of the Holy Spirit, and each of those roles contribute to his overall purpose. They are special revelation, evangelism, regeneration, and sanctification. Today I'm going to focus on special revelation. And the best way to start with explaining special revelation is to define the word revelation. Revelation means the making known or revealing of something that was previously unknown. With regards to God, it's information that he has chosen to reveal about himself and about the universe. There's information that he has chosen to reveal to all human beings, and there's information he has chosen to reveal to only his people. The first is called general revelation. The second is called special revelation. And the best way to explain special revelation is to look at the difference between general revelation and special revelation. Again, general revelation is information that God is revealing to all human beings. That information reveals his power, his majesty, his sovereignty, his authority as creator of the universe. And there are two ways that he communicates that information. The first is that he directly implants that information into our minds, bodies, and souls. And the other way is through creation, or in simpler terms, through nature. There are three common Bible passages that we use to explain general revelation. The first is Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. Which says that God made mankind in his own image. That means as humans, we contain some kind of divine nature, some kind of divine material. And because of that, we have this subconscious sense of the existence of God. We have this sense of the knowledge of God. The second Bible passage is Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 to 2, which reads, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. This means that the stars, the moon, the sun, the atmosphere, the clouds, the sky, all of these things point to the existence of God as our creator. God's word is seen day to day. His existence and his knowledge is seen night to night. General revelation is given to us through the sky and through the universe. The last passage to help explain general revelation is Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 20. This actually gives us a specific example of the kind of information that God reveals through his general revelation. Romans 1, 18 to 20. The wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. Now notice in verse 18 that it says that we suppress the truth with our wickedness. It does not say that we don't know the truth. It says that we suppress the truth through our sin. In this case, the writer is referring to morality. God has implanted an understanding of morality in our hearts, minds, and souls. And he has done this for every human being. He has made it plain to all humans. Therefore, there is no excuse for our sin. Verse 20 says that God has been clearly seen and clearly understood through creation. And that includes mankind. Because of that, we can never say that God's wrath is unjustified. The wrath of God that is being revealed from heaven is justified. Whether or not we're happy about it, it is justified because it's based on the choice that we have made to suppress the truth by our wickedness. However, there is no excuse for our sin. So in summary, general revelation is information such as morality that God has chosen to reveal to all human beings. Now, if you notice, general revelation says nothing about Jesus. It says nothing about God's plan of salvation or redemption for sinners. And that's because he has chosen to reserve this information for his people. Throughout history, God has communicated specific, special information to his people. He has revealed information on a corporate level, meaning to multiple people at one time. And he also reveals information to us individually through our relationships with God. This information is referred to as special revelation. And the Holy Spirit is responsible for communicating this special revelation. He does so in three ways: through personal revelation, through inspiration, and through illumination. I'm going to talk about all three, but I want to focus on personal revelation first. By personal revelation, I mean information that we each receive through our everyday experiences, through our knowledge of history, through our readings, through our thoughts, through words that we hear, through our personal time with God. Sometimes this information is hard to understand. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes into play. The Holy Spirit helps to reveal that information to us. To explain this a little more, the personal revelation idea, I want to refer to the writer of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Listen to what he says. He says, "Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now, in these final days, he has spoken to us through his Son." Notice that the writer says, "Long ago, God spoke And then he says, now he has spoken. This means that God, throughout history, has consistently and constantly communicated with his people, whether it was Adam, Noah, the Israelites, the disciples, or Christians today. He has communicated that information through direct speech, through written word, through angels, through prophets, visions, dreams, miracles, through important moments in history, and through Jesus himself. There is information about God that all Christians know, and there's information about God, again, that he reveals to us individually through our personal times with him. However, regardless of the form of communication, and regardless of whether or not it's for the group or for the individual, all of that information is personally received by each of us. And it's up to us on what we do with that information. So, a question you may have is, where does the Holy Spirit stand? Or what is his role in personal revelation? Well, without the Holy Spirit, this information means nothing. Think about it. There are people that have read the Bible from cover to cover, but have never fully known or understood what they were reading. There are people that have been to church for years and heard all these things about Jesus, but they have never accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and their lives have never changed because of it. There are people who believe in Jesus as a historical figure, but they have never personally known him as God. What's the reason? The reason is the Holy Spirit has not come to dwell in them. The Holy Spirit is not there to reveal that specific information. We need to receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior so that the Holy Spirit can dwell in us. Interpreting special revelation depends on the Holy Spirit. Now, this is something that we should be able to unpack over the next few weeks. But now I want to get into the second way that the Holy Spirit participates in special revelation, and that is inspiration. And that regards the writing of the Bible. The Holy Spirit inspired the writing of the Bible. As Christians, we hold to the truth that the Bible is the inspired word of God, which we call Scripture. The Holy Spirit has inspired 40 authors over a period of 1,500 years to produce the collection of 66 books that we call the Bible. Now, we have to be careful. The word inspiration here is not the same as the word that we use in today's culture. Let me explain. For example, I write spoken word poems, and I feel that those poems are inspired by the Holy Spirit. But I would never, in my right mind, try to equate my poems with Scripture. So, what do we mean when we talk about the Bible being the inspired Word of God? Well, to answer that, I want to use two passages of Scripture. The first is very well known to many Christians. It's 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 to 17, which says, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. I want you to notice the words and the language that is used here. It's specifically chosen for a reason. It says, all Scripture is God-breathed. Old Testament and New Testament, all Scripture. It says that all of that is useful for obtaining righteousness. And it says that it thoroughly equips the servants of God for every good work. The second passage is 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 to 21, which states, above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. The writers and the prophets were carried along by the Holy Spirit. My spoken word poems do not necessarily fit the description of these two passages when looked at together. So let me try to explain inspiration more. God wanted the things of Scripture to be permanent. He wanted Scripture to be a permanent revelation that all Christians could refer to for all times. He wanted that special revelation to be available to us. However, he didn't want dictation. He didn't want the writers to write down the exact words that he said. He gave them the freedom to use their own words, to use their own grammar, language, style, and syntax. However, the Holy Spirit was with them the entire time. The Holy Spirit was working in their minds and hearts to ensure that what they were writing was both their word and God's word at the same time. This is one of the miracles of God, that we would consider the Bible to be His word. And this includes the Old Testament and New Testament books. So in summary, all Scripture is God-breathed because the writers were carried by the Holy Spirit. We refer to this process as inspiration, and it is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. The last way the Holy Spirit reveals God's special information to His people is through illumination. Illumination is bringing light to something, or bringing an understanding or clarification to something that is not fully understood. When it comes to special revelation, the Holy Spirit is responsible for illuminating the things of God. He can get us to an aha moment or a, oh, now I get it moment. The Holy Spirit helps to illuminate the things of God. He helps us to understand things we may not fully understand because, as humans, our capacity to understand the things of God is limited. We need the Holy Spirit to illuminate things for us. And one cool thing about the Spirit is He doesn't do it alone. He utilizes human beings in this process as well. Throughout history, prophets, leaders, teachers, pastors, and laypersons have been used by the Holy Spirit to illuminate specific information to Christians. For example, as I was preparing for this message, as I was studying for this message, the Holy Spirit was dwelling in me. I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, so the Holy Spirit dwells in me. And as I'm studying, He is illuminating things so that I can understand them better. And right now, as you're listening to me speak, He is illuminating the things that you are hearing from me. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 17 to 18. Ephesians chapter 1, 17 to 18. He says, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know Him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you." In summary, illumination is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, and it's a way for Him to help us understand the things of God. So the last question for this message is, how do the three aspects of special revelation bring honor and glory to Jesus the Son and God the Father? Well, I'm going to let Jesus answer that for you. I'm going to read something that He said to His disciples near the end of His earthly life. And it's found in the book of John, chapter 16, verses 12 to 15. John 16, 12 to 15. Jesus said, "I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. First, the Old Testament and New Testament both point to Jesus. Second, Jesus has received his full inheritance from God, and right now he sits at the right hand of the throne of God. Everything that God has or owns is now in the possession of Jesus. Third, everything the Holy Spirit makes known, he receives from Jesus. Therefore, all of special revelation results in the glorification of Jesus the Son and God the Father. Now, I have one final passage of Scripture that I want to share with you, and it gives a great conclusion to this doctrine of special revelation. But before I do, I want to say that next week, Pastor Dale will be giving a message about the role of the Holy Spirit in the area of evangelism. He's excited about it, and I hope you join him next week. I'm thankful that you joined us today. I hope you have a great week. And I'm going to leave you with one last passage of Scripture. It is from 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It's the Apostle Paul writing to the church in the city of Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters, when I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness, with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, or from the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood that, for if they had, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, and cannot understand them because they are only discerned through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things. But such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." Amen.